Jam Podcast.
Go Panda!
Guys.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. My name's Brand.
You want to just start it over?
No. My name's Brand. I love classic Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey, it's Panda. I like classic Hallmark Christmas movies.
I'm Dan. And I despise Hallmark Christmas, even the classic movies. This
is the Deck the Hallmark Podcast. Oh, Mike Palmer. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Debbie McComber's Deck the Hallmark Podcast.
Normally
we get mad at Trace for yelling out McComber, but we have to get in no less than 38 Debbie McCombers in this episode, and we're doing the best we can to say Debbie McComber as many times as possible. We're off to a good start.
Not to be a Debbie McComber downer, but it's going to be tough to do. I'll say that.
I think Debbie McComber is going to be proud of our effort regardless. If we get close, she says go for it.
Dude, if we can make Debbie McComber proud... Oh my gosh! Forget about it.
Ooh man, Debbie McComber hasn't been proud a day in her life.
they call her Never Proud Debbie.
Debbie Downer. Debbie McComber Downer. Yeah.
We should get her on the pod or on the book club. Is she a hard get?
I imagine so.
You haven't tried.
I have not tried. I feel a little antsy reaching out.
No way. That's not how we do anything around
here. Hallmark Books, and you haven't even reached out to Debbie McComber? The Debbie?
I'm scared.
Gosh.
I'm scared. She intimidates me.
That's embarrassing.
Because she's not proud of anybody.
So you're worried she'd go through the whole podcast and just be like, yeah, eventually.
I'm really disappointed,
like,
Panda. Really
disappointed. And then I what am I supposed
she
to
says,
say?
Yes, who cares? She's not going to like what I have to say
Guys,
about this movie.
Don't listen to Panda. Panda did the podcast.
He did it.
He did. He interviewed her.
We have a clip?
We have a clip.
Hey, so you've written 3,000 books.
What's your point?
Well, what's your favorite one?
I don't need a favorite one. I write them. What's your favorite?
Can we stop that clip, Trace? It is very, very clear, Tracy, that you played Debbie McComber for this interview.
What do you mean?
It's you talking to Panda, not Debbie, and we all know it.
Now, that does make a lot of sense because, first of all, we did a Skype call. The screen was black the whole time.
Did she say God bless it all?
She did multiple times, which it was odd. And also, the email was, Tracy,
I'm not proud of you, everybody. I'm not proud of you. Trading Christmas. Debbie out.
I love that we kept playing that clip.
Debbie McComber, baby.
Not proud of it.
We're off to a good start.
We are off to Debbie a good McComber.
Is this going to be Debbie McComber's synopsis coming up?
No, I think I'll take care of this.
You're going to take it? Okay.
Boy, guys, Trading Christmas. I will say we have been doing this show for just shy of three years now. And we've gotten a lot of requests
for this movie all the time.
More than anyone? Anything?
More than any. Well, we came out of the gate hard doing the top five. So Christmas card, people said all the time.
People still request Christmas
card. They don't know we did it. I've got bad news. We did it.
What did I think of that system? I got to know.
Yeah. That guy died from bomb proximity.
Listen.
Love the troops. Love the troops.
I would love to do a rewatch of Christmas Card and redo it.
Oh, gosh, no.
It's a classic. I don't know. I just feel like
there's so many Hallmark movies.
We were so green then. Everybody, we were so green then.
We always, you know, kind of remark how we can do this same show and it just doesn't ever feel old. It feels very evergreen to us. The day we start rewatching movies. No.
But what I'm saying is we were so green back then.
I guarantee it's not any better. It's bad. Dots.
I'm saying, you think we're going to bring anything new to this?
People like it because they just straight make out at the end of it. Like, it is a full on just.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's whole hog.
It's an Andrew Walker whole hog, everybody. Sound the alarm. Andrew Walker whole hog. Are you guys ready to dive into Trading Christmas?
Oh, you bet. Debbie McComber, bring it home.
Trading Christmas originally aired on November 26th.
Written by Debbie McComber.
2011, and it went a little something like this. A few years ago, Debbie watched The Holiday and said, I got an idea. So here's the situation. Bear with me, everybody. Emily, her husband passed away 3 years ago. She's a second grade teacher. She lives in Washington in a small little town, and she is preparing for the holidays. She loves Christmas, and she's very excited because her daughter, Heather, who is in college, is coming home, and they always do it big, and it just means a lot to her, especially because her husband has passed away. Now, Emily finds out that her daughter is going to do something else during Christmas, wants to hang out with her friends. And so she's like, okay, I guess I'll just be all by myself this Christmas. Have fun. So she calls her friend Faith. Faith works at a clown shop, it appears. And she is divorced. She's an event planner is technically what she does. She lives in San Fran. And they're friends, and they're talking about what she should do for Christmas. And she encourages her to figure out, to do something for herself, or maybe go out there and visit her. Just figure it out. Meanwhile, we meet Charles in Boston. Charles is an English teacher, professor. He's also an author. He is working on his latest novel. He's having a very difficult time doing that. And so his brother, Ray, also lives in Boston.
Slower.
He owns a software security company. Very mysterious. And he says, hey, Ray... I'm sorry. Hey, Charles, you should go and...
Ray Charles is in this movie?
Unreal. That's
you
so cool.
You know, and it's right.
So...
Switching houses, baby.
So Ray Christmas, does...
No Christmas.
Keep going.
Ray does tell his brother, Charles...
You dress it, it's right.
...that he should go away...
Talking slow now, Ray Charles.
...to write this book. To get some fresh eyes, some fresh point of views, get out of Boston and figure it out. So that's great. Now, Emily decides that she's going to fly to Boston to surprise her daughter, who's going to college at Boston College. And she's unaware that her daughter is flying across the country to go to Phoenix with her boyfriend, Jason. Are you confused yet by all the characters, Panda?
Oh, yeah, totally. I didn't understand the movie at all.
So Emily and Charles find each other on a house swapping website. They trade houses, they trade Christmas, and they're going to be in each other's houses, in each other's homes in Boston and Washington for the week. Charles arrives in Washington and he discovers that Emily's house looks like our set did at Christmas time. Christmas everywhere. He doesn't seem very happy about that. We don't really know why. Emily arrives in Boston at Charles' apartment and discovers that, one, her daughter's not there. She's in Phoenix. And so she's just in Boston for no reason. And two, nary a Christmas decoration to be found. Now, Emily's friend Faith, remember her, the clown girl? She takes a plane and a bus to surprise her friend in Washington, wants to see her. But her friend didn't tell her, hey, I'm going to Boston. So she shows up, Charles is there, and so she's like, she's very like, I'm going to be here regardless of what you think, so just don't fight with me. This is my friend's house, so I'm going to stay here. Because the bus, apparently there's only one bus a week. From San Fran to I don't know, whatever. She can't find a bus, and so she's gonna stay there. Back in Boston, Emily accidentally sets the alarm while she's in there, causes the alarm to go off silently, I guess, and the alarm people call Ray and says, hey, Ray, somebody's in your brother's apartment. You should go over there. He meets Paul Blart Mall Cop over there, and they go, and they look, and then it's Emily. And Emily's like, hey, I'm here. I'm supposed to be here. No big deal. So, Ray, to say, hey, I'm sorry for intruding on you when you're supposed to be here. I would like to take you to dinner. And so they go to dinner. They have a wonderful time. Now, over the course of the week leading up to Christmas, Emily and Ray spend a lot of time together. And Charles and Faith spend a lot of time together. Emily and Ray talk about their past Christmas memories. And open up to one another. Charles, having a hard time writing his book, Faith begins to read the drafts without his approval and makes suggestions, which actually helps him in the writing of the book. Charles is not so sure about taking the advice, but eventually does, breaks his writer's block, and he's able to finish the novel. Yay. Meanwhile, in Arizona, remember that? Heather's sad, misses her mom. So he's like, hey, I'll buy you a ticket so that you can go and spend Christmas with your mom back in Boston. So Ray gives Emily a pair of earrings as a Christmas present. And he's really thinking that he's going to be able to spend Christmas with Emily. But Heather shows up. And so he goes waddling off all sad. And is like, hey, you're leaving in a couple days. We shouldn't make things more difficult. Womp womp. It's Christmas Day. Charles drives Faith to the bus station. The night prior, they kissed. What are they going to do? How are they going to handle this situation? He feels like she should say something. She feels like he should say something. So she gets on the bus, and he hops on the bus after her and says, hey, I want to spend Christmas with you. And she's like, why don't you just say so? In Boston, Emily, Heather, Emily and Heather, they have Christmas with Ray. They have a wonderful time. Yay, that's so exciting. They show up to Ray's a house with a Christmas tree, and they spend Christmas together. Yay, so exciting. 1 year passes, and it is revealed that Ray and Emily are living together in Washington, and they are visited at Christmas time by Faith and Charles, who are expecting a child, and they celebrate Christmas together. Trading Christmas, they did it! And that was
Debbie McComber's Trading Christmas!
By Debbie McComber.
Written by Debbie McComber.
She was an executive producer, and by her, I mean Debbie McComber.
Debbie McComber was not executive producer,
yes, she
but
was.
She did write.
Executive
she was
producer.
An executive producer. Debbie McComber was executive producer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Debbie McComber was. Yeah.
Debbie McComber.
Debbie McComber.
We're going to take a quick break.
Brought to you by Debbie McComber.
Debbie McComber.
We'll be right back. These ads are good.
On Deck the Hallmark. Welcome back, everybody.
Hey.
That's a good ad break. Debbie McComber knocked out of the park. I feel like on those ones.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, let's break this episode down, shall we?
Yep.
This movie, Trading Christmas, 2011. People love it. Do we love it? Let's find out with the hot take. Panda, you don't hold back. I wouldn't expect you to do that here. Even though it's a crowd favorite, was it a favorite of yours? How'd you feel?
Even though you want to have her on the podcast.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I understand why people like this movie. Because I think the switching locations things, I like the holiday. Like I'm an unabashed fan of the holiday. I get that's not a great movie, but I like that movie a lot. And so I'm prone to like this movie. I don't think I understand the depth of the love for this movie. Because it's fine. Like I think it's good even. Like I think that it amps up its game enough where I had fun watching it, and it's an enjoyable watch. I will tell you that one of the things that helps me with this movie is that I really liked one every single time the writer and
Tom Cavanaugh.
Yeah, Tom Cavanaugh. What's his name in it? It's Charles and Faith are on
Jack
screen
and
together.
Diane.
Yeah, Charles and Faith are on screen.
Chili dog.
I'm the only one who knows what you're talking about, and I'm just not helping you.
Chili dog. Go ahead.
No, I liked it. Overall, like I liked their relationship a lot. It was a joy watching them on screen every single time they're on screen. I enjoyed it. But otherwise, like the other relationship, I kind of cared about. So overall, it's a like for me. You know, it's not one of my all-time favorites, but I understand why people like it. I enjoyed it. Overall, it's not a love, but I do like it.
I also like the holiday. And I have a hard time whenever there is a movie that's just as clear of a knockoff as this one is. Gel right. Like the whole time I was just thinking about Jack Black. Like like it was tough for me to watch this movie. Sure, it's good. Yes, the synopsis was very long. There's a lot of characters in this movie. There's a lot of moving parts, obviously. They're going across the country. I don't know. I don't get the depth of the love for this movie. I agree with Panda. I liked it, but I didn't love it, and I'd pick the holiday over this any day of the week. That's where I'm at. Dan?
I'm going to have the hottest take of everybody here. This movie's utter trash. That's not the hot take. It's utter trash. It's terrible. I can't believe the love of it. I cannot believe the love of it. Here's the hot take. It's still better than The Holiday.
No, that movie
is garbage. And not only is it garbage, but it's longer garbage than this one. I feel like I'm still watching The Holiday. That's one of the worst movies. It's got to be close to 2.5 hours long. It has no business near
it. It's not close to 2.5 hours.
I bet you it's at least 2:15, at least minimum.
What are you betting?
2:50. I would say 2 hours and.
No, what are you betting?
What am I betting or what it.
No, what are you betting?
I'll bet whatever you want. I guarantee it's longer than 2:15. Guarantee.
You want to do a beard bet?
Yeah.
What are the odds that you looked this up before?
Why would I do that? I saw it and I thought it was 2.5 hours, which means it probably is closer to 2:15. That means I'm right. And he didn't want any part
of
a beard.
It's 2:18.
Bingo. I told you.
Which is very close to 2:15.
I thought it was 2.5. And then to make sure I wasn't wrong, I backed up 15
minutes. Well, that's just a sign of good storytelling because it rockets by for
Brea. It was just shorter than your synopsis.
That's fair.
Listen, this movie's bad. It's not as bad as The Holiday. This is not a holiday podcast. I will agree with you that the Tom Cavanaugh storyline is easily the best of these, but things come to a molasses level slow when we go back to Boston to see Slowey Talkerson try to win over
Ray.
This isn't Ray. Well, whatever it is somehow in the family that has Tom Cavanaugh and that guy in it that came from the same mom, one of them got all the talking speed. And the other one is just trying to piece together subject and verb while the ice melts outside. I don't understand how no one has talked about how slow this guy is talking. It is tough sledding out here. But then it switches over to Tom Cavanaugh, and they're both talking very, very fast. And it's rapid fire. I don't even think this is the best Debbie McComber movie. I think Dashing Through the Snow is better than Trading Christmas.
I would agree with that.
The Andrew Walker FBI road trip movie.
Love that movie.
Yeah. With the scene where they have to share the bed and they put up the partition.
Yes, that's a way, yes.
That one scene sticks out to me more than this entire movie. Don't understand the love for it. It's not good. Slowey Talkerson just brings it all to a stop.
Ray
Slowey Talkerson brings it all to a stop. Slowey Ray, that's fine.
Slowey Ray.
It's not good, but it's better than The Holiday. There you go. That's all you need.
Not better than The Holiday.
Way better than The Holiday.
It is not, no.
I got an hour of my time back.
Yeah, but half of it was spent with Slowey Talkerson.
You know what's funny? That's true. No, I look, if you're going to, qualitatively, obviously, The Holiday's a better made movie, but the problem is that talk about a combination of a movie that's too long and then the bloated expectations of its cast. Because its cast is phenomenal. Kate Winslet, Jack Black, Jude Law. It just is woof.
Cameron Diaz. Cameron Diaz.
It's Cameron Diaz. Who else?
That's it.
Okay, I was about to say. I knew I was missing one.
But those are, that they crush it. I don't understand what you, like, you're laughing, but I still don't understand. Like, it's a big movie. Big heart.
But you said you don't understand. In your hot take, you said, I understand that it's not actually a good movie. You said that.
No, I said, I understand that people don't like the movie.
No, you said, I understand. Look at him.
Did I say it's? Yeah. I didn't understand. I understand that it's not critically.
You understand it's a bad movie until I say it's bad.
No, I think it's a good. I like it.
Yeah,
I don't
you can
think
like
I fully,
it.
I don't that's think fine. I fully grasp. Well, I think I understand the cheese factor that people don't like about it. Maybe that's what I mean by it's a bad movie. But I guess I don't understand why there was so much hate towards that movie.
All I know is it's one of the few times I didn't see it in the
when
theater.
When Cameron Diaz and Jude Law are laying in the tent with the kids and they're looking
tell
up.
Tell me that doesn't make you
and they hold
cry.
Pinkies?
Oh, my gosh.
Mm. They hold pinkies, Dan.
I stand corrected. They hold pinkies.
P.S. I Love You underrated.
P.S. There is zero defense for P.S. I Love You.
James Blunt sings on that album and it's crushing.
Even you would if that's the first one you're pulling out there.
Bye, my love. Bye, my friend.
We'll make the same mistake.
Dude, there was a
you would even admit that the holiday is a better movie than P.S. I Love You. You would admit that.
That the holiday is better than P.S. I Love You? Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. All right.
The there was a year when James Blunt had hits.
It's crazy.
What a year it was.
That guy has money in the bank. And I don't understand it for the life of me.
He crushes so much. Okay, don't let that song put you off from the rest of it.
True.
Bonfire Heart is great.
Oh, no. You're going non-singles now. You're going non-singles.
This is why no one trusts your opinion on anything.
James Blunt is one of the greatest musicians of our time. Singer, songwriter, and I stand by it. I bet he'd come on my podcast.
Yeah, and talk about
Book.
Songwriting.
Being homeless?
He is not homeless. He's doing great. He's a great Twitter follow because he replies to people who say that he sucks, and it's great. It's great fun. Good follow. Let's talk about all the feels. Besides James Blunt, is there anything that in this movie that we watched today that gave you feels?
The bus scene at the very end, Bran, is the best feel scene. Honestly, that's it. I didn't get like a lot of feels from that. I thought that was solid. Not a lot of feels for me in this. I will say, I'm not selling this maybe enough. Charles and Faith, I really liked every scene that they were in together. I thought that they were a lot of fun. The banter was really fast, and there was like a chemistry there.
For as hot as their relationship was the letdown, opposite.
Yeah.
On the East Coast.
Yes, exactly. For sure.
Yeah. Can the all opposite agree on the East Coast.
Yep.
That should be the name of this movie.
Yeah.
It's just, and I really like every scene they were in. There was some real energy in those scenes. I really
like Tom Cavanaugh does a great, like, by and large, I've not seen, like, he does a good job in most of these things. Like, he's in a mystery series.
Yeah.
Darrow and Darrow. He was in Ed, which I really enjoyed when it was on NBC 20 years ago. He's a good actor.
The Flash.
He does a good job.
Anybody?
Yeah, I quit after.
Anybody?
Wait, he's the Flash?
No, he's no. He's sometimes the bad guy.
Yeah, sometimes depending on the timeline and
what mood you're in. Yeah.
So I love timeline.
I did stop watching The Flash, but there was I
think we all did. Yeah. It was great until it wasn't. Yeah. Until they kept switching until there's all these universes out there. You can just bring Flash from this universe to this one. It's terrible. It's real bad.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. My feels is, you know, he finally tells Faith why he has a hard time with Christmas. And it's, you know, he was engaged, yes. Mm-hmm. And she left on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And like undecorated the tree and everything.
Yeah.
So to have them finally have this connection and him be bringing in a Christmas tree to set up and as almost this like official sign, this tangible sign of I'm moving on was a really, really great moment. And again, everything that was good in this movie was on the West Coast, and that relationship was fire. Dan?
Definitely wasn't in Phoenix, I can tell you that, because I'd have rather seen the East Coast, I believe. It's a toss-up. The Christmas tree is probably the closest I came. I didn't really have a lot of feels in the movie. I thought that their banter was good. Charles and Faith's banter was really good back and forth, and they seemed right for each other. But the bus scene was weird because the bus was empty, and it's the only bus that leaves for a week, yet it's empty. That threw me off. Plus, the bus driver is very famous Canadian Hallmark super actor, and that threw me off for him to be in one scene. So, like, the Christmas tree didn't, and it's nothing really did it for me. It wasn't a huge feels for me, unfortunately.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel. Of that I'm sure. She smiles me on the subway. She was with another man. Why does he start off that song with just the quick, my life is brilliant? And then he comes back and then he sings the
verse. It's like the unedited version. Doesn't he cuss in there too?
He does.
Yeah. It's like he came in too early and they just left it in. Yeah. It was a very bold move.
Yeah, it was bold, but I think that's what seals his deal as being one of the
goals. That's what seals his deal. We'll be right back here at Tech Talk.
What is his deal? Things I'm not surprised about. Panda was a James Blunt fan. Like, I'm not at all surprised. Like, not even the slightest bit surprised.
Well, that's good.
That he was a James
Blunt
fan. Would
you go now?
Now? No,
to a James Blunt concert.
During COVID?
No, just throw COVID out.
COVID's over and I got you tickets. Would you go?
Yeah. You have to buy tickets.
You have to buy tickets. You have to buy tickets.
50 Dan's going.
No.
He says you got to buy your own ticket.
How much are they?
50 bones.
Ooh. Standing room though. It's
75
the pit.
You're on the floor. 75 on the floor.
You're in the pit.
You're beautiful. Yeah, I mean, he came to Greenville a few years ago, and I was like, I was really tempted on going.
That guy can fill up the Peace Center.
No, not the whole thing.
Not anymore. They were giving tickets away on like 98.9 was giving away tickets, and they were just like, we're going to play a James Blunt song, and we're giving away tickets. Isn't this exciting?
First 20,000 to call, get a ticket.
I remember the other DJ being like, I haven't heard about him since You're Beautiful. Jeez. And it made me sad. But I actually bought one of his singles back in the day.
Which one?
Bonfire Heart.
That was a single?
Mm-hmm.
Woof.
How's it go?
Man, it's been a while since I've heard it.
You said it was such a great song.
No, But you can't give me nothing. I've got to get primed, right?
You can't give me nothing. I got to get primed.
Yeah.
Huge blonde head over here.
Blonde. guys,
yeah.
It's time for the Wait What? It's part of the show where we talk about
what Debbie McComber's go what? Away.
Is Debbie McComber's Wait What? Panda?
There's so many people. Emily? Emily goes to Charles's apartment, and there's all these remote controls. Yeah. One of the remote controls is for the fireplace, and she picks it up. Now, I've had a fireplace in the past where that was one where you hit the button. Feature. There's two buttons on that. There's on and there's an off button. Sometimes there's just one button. You just turn it on, you turn it off. This one has no less than, 15, 20 buttons? It looks like a remote control. What do you need?
I don't understand.
I don't
get it. It doesn't make any sense at all.
At one point, he's complaining about taking a 300-mile round trip. Now, I get it. Not everyone wants to do a 300-mile round trip. I understand. But he's making it sound like this is the worst thing that has ever happened to him if he has to drive her to Seattle or she spends another week in his house. He wants to be left alone. A 300-mile
round trip. Five hours.
You could get done in a day. You could do it.
Easily. In a morning, almost. Yeah. Leave at 6 a.m. You're home by lunch.
Yeah. It's just do it, man. Like, if you want to be left alone that bad, not
it's difficult. It's not hard.
Not difficult. When he gets notes back, Charles gets notes back on his manuscript. There's two notes on the title page, and I don't understand. What's there to critique on the title page where you require two notes?
Like, I really wish we found out more information because
name, bad font.
Yeah, space it out further.
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty much it. I think overall this movie, I will say this, if there was a tightness level of this, airtight, pretty much.
If there was a tightness
level. Hey, yeah. Hey, what's that tightness level over there on that movie, that Debbie McConnor flip?
It's airtight.
Oh, God. Put it on air. The daughter says that her mom got a new copy of It's a Wonderful Life, and I just want to know, like, why? Is the news, like, special features?
Maybe the old one broke.
Old one broke?
Yeah.
Got a new copy. We got to get it, make it happen. Charles. Man, Ray Charles is confusing.
It's just,
yeah. Charles overnights a key to his place.
That's right.
But why?
Couldn't leave it in like a lockbox or something?
Like, I understand Boston has maybe a bit more crime than the small town of
Rick,
or maybe Ray
mosey on over there, take him a day.
Ray
and a
doesn't
half.
Have a problem, anyways, going over there. Obviously,
guys, he's just—it's just ridiculous. There's no—he's a good actor. He's been in—he was in Shawshank Redemption, a big part in Shawshank Redemption. He has the ability to act, and for some reason, in this role, he decides he's just going to speak like molasses. He's just—it's unreal. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
At one point. What is it? Is it Faith that's with Charles?
And, sure.
Yeah. Sure. On the West Coast?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, sure.
She's working out or doing stretches in front of him. And I don't know. There was no like, hey, I'm going to get my workout in now. It's like she just saw
it's a massive house.
She saw the opportunity to.
Maybe and she was stretching after the drive.
Stretching after the drive?
She had workout clothes on.
She was ready.
She had like tights on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's weird. But.
The buddies show up in Phoenix, the college buddies, with a keg.
Yep,
and with glass bottles of beer. And they were coming from Las Vegas.
That's right.
That they got kicked
did they
out
steal
of.
The keg?
Did they steal the keg?
Yeah.
What is the? Where How did all this beer come from? Why so many different types?
And then. If they didn't steal the keg, their thought is we'll go see our bro in Phoenix. We won't tell him, and we'll call and get a keg reserved on the way. That's how confident we are that it's going to go down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
That's all I got, Dan.
This woman is answering phones at a party planning store, and she's giving this guy notes who is an established author. And they're gold. They're just absolute morsels of gold that she's giving him. She answers phones at a party planning service. He's written books before. That doesn't make any sense to me. And I just want to understand the key thing, just so we're clear. She says, I will leave you a key at the back mat, under the mat, back mat. Tom Cavanaugh goes around to the back of the house, gets the key, doesn't go in, goes back to the front of the house, comes in the front door, and then proceeds to go and put the key back under the mat because later Faith gets in that way.
Unless he left the back door unlocked.
She says there's a key behind the back mat.
But then she walks in. Like, maybe she sees that it's not under there, and so she just walks
in. But why'd he put the key back while he's going to be there?
But maybe it wasn't
maybe
back.
Maybe he didn't put it back.
The door's unlocked. She tries the door.
She tries to find the key.
So why did he go around to the back to the front door?
We don't know why.
We don't know why he did that. Like, no, that none of that makes sense.
Your initial point is well made.
Yeah.
I just bring query to your second.
It's a good query brought. Debbie McComber could be on the line for that. Debbie, you there?
Hey,
no,
yeah.
No, you're not. Okay.
Who is that?
Hey. Old prospector?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Trader Christmas.
You have an alarm system. I have an alarm system at our house. They're the same company. Bran, you don't have an alarm system?
No, and I leave my door unlocked often as possible.
So, and that's what I tell you.
What do they have to take? Three houses
down. I'm just going to send them your way. When your alarm...
Hey, guys, I got an alarm system. Just go down yonder. Trust me, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. That's what I say. When the alarm's going off, it's like, go to Bran's, go to Bran's. Here's the deal. When your alarm goes off, they call you. That's who they call. Right. If they don't get you, they send police. In this scenario where she sets off the alarm in the Boston apartment, they don't call Charles. They never call him. Nope. They call his brother. Don't understand. Look, and you can say he set the alarm off. She set the alarm off herself. They think he's in trouble. Then you just send police. Why are we bringing the brother into this? Either the police need to be there or they don't need to be there. It didn't make any sense.
The argument was because he was out of town.
But he did.
Which doesn't make any sense.
At all. And then they don't send the actual police. They send what appears to be a security guard from a mall or some glass box outside of like a library. Like, they don't send an actual police with like a gun and things that... No. They just send one of their police, which now we're talking about the worst security company of all time.
Yeah.
They're going to send one of their people out to deal with the problem when you could be getting murdered. That's not exactly the forte. And then... Lastly, she's on her first date, or maybe second, with Slowly Talkerson, and she's walking, and they sit down, and he's like, man, I need a tissue. And she proceeds to pull out of her bag no less than like 8 children's toys. Yep. And then she reminds us all, Debbie McComber does, that she's a second grade teacher. We get it, Debbie. Why would she pack that and go across the country with it? Well, you're going across the country and you're traveling. You've got a dozen kids' toys in your bag? Why?
You never know what kid you might run into.
On the street that you can be creepy towards. It just is absurd. That's all I got.
No.
Bran
hands out lollipops to the kids.
I throw them. We keep our distance.
Brats on Halloween, though.
Oh, brats on Halloween. Let's go. Brats anywhere, on a ship, anywhere. I'll take it, brat. Hand out brats, let's go.
COVID brat.
It is time for What the Hallmark is, the part of the show. We talk about any questions that we still have that we'd like some answers to. Panda.
So I want to go back to Ray, Slowly Talkerson. Ray sells his company. I'm assuming he's making bukus of money from the sales, whatever. Like, he's clearly crushing the financial.
He says early on, like, they just upped the offer again. So clearly, yeah,
he's making
offer.
A ton of money. So, but now, like, what's he doing with his life? Like, he moves to the West Coast. I mean, he moves
to Washington.
Yeah, to Washington. And so now, like, is he just taking early retirement?
Just like, independently
is
that what wealthy.
Like, independently wealthy, which is totally cool. I just want to know
a teacher's aide, second grade.
They're both portrayed to be around 50.
Yeah, did she quit teaching second grade, like, at that point? You think they just did full stop retire? Like, full both stop of them?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I would hope so.
I think that would be ideal. I mean, be awesome. But
I have two. One, Slowly Talkerson Ray and
Kendall, Mary, Sean Troll,
Emily. And Emily, they kiss big ones a lot.
A lot of kissing.
In this movie. There's a lot of kissing big ones. And I just want to know, you know, was it ever brought up? Like, maybe tone it down. Like, it was a lot of kissing big ones.
Well, it's
they're making out on the couch. They're making out anywhere they can. And my poor guy,
It's they kiss a ton, but the other couple, it's implied that they sleep together.
Yes.
So one couple goes all the way. The other couple takes out a mortgage on first base.
Yes.
Like, just like, they just live there. Just
I have never seen a home movie with that much making kissing, out.
Laying down on the couch. It's a ton. It's a lot.
It's a lot, man.
Sheesh.
It's a lot. And I also want to know about the Christmas tree lot. Treed Me Right is the name of it. Oh, I'm sorry. You go ahead. No, I'll take it out. I'll strike
how
it.
How did we land on Treed Me Right?
Yeah.
That sounds like a Panda double decker is what that sounds like. Treed Me Right. Of all the things that you could come up with, Treed Me Right has to be at the bottom of the list. Want to know a little bit more about that. And then I do want to know about the empty bus. What's the deal? One bus a week leaves that town for San Francisco. One.
Seattle, wasn't it?
Seattle? I think it's leaving for Seattle, and then she gets on a plane Seattle to San Fran.
Whatever the case may be, it just seemed like it was just empty. And then He clearly, the bus driver's not from Seattle, so he drove there for no reason.
He wants to get home for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird one. Those were my two.
Yeah, great. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Hey. Another week in the bag.
Another week in the bag.
It's a big bag. It's all the episodes. All five.
How about that interview on Wednesday?
Oh, my gosh. So good.
Unbelievable.
Guys, it's time for the double decker of Friday. We can't say of the week anymore because there's multiple.
We did
but
anyway.
What can you double decker of the week? And it's when Panda does a deep dive. He goes on Google++ and just really gets into the weeds of someone's life and pulls out the juiciest, most important part and shares that with us. I think today's going to be a good one. You got that look in your eye. Dan, who do we have?
Courtney Baird. Courtney Baird.
Ooh. Yeah. Courtney, man, can I tell you, Courtney's awesome.
Courtney's awesome.
A genius, I would say.
Okay. Well.
Create a company. She's an entrepreneur, as many are. But really taking things, if there's this level right here, this is her next level and then beyond.
Okay. So the next level for you is up way up here.
Up here, but then beyond. And then, she goes beyond.
To infinity. Beyond.
It's so good. And she created something and it's patent pending, but I think it's going to go big.
So the patent application's been filled out. Or she just hasn't even gotten a patent yet.
No, it's been filled out.
We're
still
at
the internal review patent team pending, still looking at it.
Still looking
into it. But I can tell you, it's big time. She created the Swissmas tree.
Swissmas
tree? Is it like from Switzerland, or is it a Swiss Army knife?
No, Swiss cheese. Here's the deal. It's kind of a catch-all. She makes multiple Swiss trees.
I'm confused.
What?
The tree
what
is made
she
of
makes
trees is plural.
Uh-huh.
Why'd you say treeses?
I
like
think you know.
Like your Gollum.
I will say it got stuck in the mouth. And
those trees as well, my friend. So I'm sorry. You started off this whole thing with she takes companies to the next level and beyond. Does she do that via the Swissmas trees?
Yeah, the Swissmas trees.
How does that help a company go to the next level?
Oh, okay, I'm glad you asked. Okay, Christmas party every year, right?
Of course.
They call her up. They said, we need one of your Swissmas trees. She goes, which one do you want? And they said, give me the full piggy. And so she comes on in and she gives them Swiss tree cheese.
I mean,
Swiss cheese tree, right? Swiss knife tree made just of Swiss knives. Swedish fish tree, anything Swiss.
All right, Swiss is Switzerland. Swedish is Sweden.
Uh huh.
Those are different.
No. You would think so. She blurs the line.
So.
She would blur the line
a little bit. So it's a Swissmas tree, but also featuring some Swedish.
What about Swissmas the hot cocoa mix?
What about Swissmas? That's what I thought we were doing.
Yeah, no, there would be a great Swissmas tree as well.
That really makes the most sense for the Christmas season. Yeah.
You would think so, but also...
how many people are calling up for a Swissmas tree and getting a Swedish fish tree? give me the Swedish fish one.
I mean, I did, and I'm just...
Trees, cheeries, treeses, trees.
Debbie McComber.
Debbie.
Has Debbie McComber ever called up and gotten one of these Swissmas trees?
Sure. Oh, yeah, multiple times. Every year.
At that point, does it become Debbie McComber's Swissmas tree?
It does.
How many treeses did she get?
Three
treeses.
Three treeses galore.
Three Swiss treeses.
Yes. We did, everybody. Congratulations. We're going to be back on Monday. We'll be covering the Netflix movie Operation Christmas Drop.
Yeah. Brain's excited.
We're going to be doing that on Monday. So watch this that weekend. Have a lot of fun. And we'll see you then. Until then, maybe we'll be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's produced by Brandon Gray and presented by Friendly TV. Our lovely set is decorated by Plum Home Decor. You can check them out at plumonmain.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast, go to bramblejampodcast.com. And to hear every Bramble Jam podcast ad-free, go to bramblejamplus.com.